So I think Dan and I would suggest that these are just the flat cooling towers, period. You know, whether the cooling towers for food processing facility. Yeah. It's not so clear to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to restrict it to a power generation.
If $90 was their recommendation, we're just staying out of legal trouble. If you got a 500 ton cooling tower for food processing facility, and you're applying one stand, you got a 500 ton cooling tower for power generation, you're kind of asking for trouble.
Yeah, sure.
It's the same thing.
Do we have cooling towers for any food processing in town?
We have had.
But we don't now.
We have cooling. I think the only cooling towers we have active are for HVAC. And I don't know what the time rating is. There are cooling towers on the roof of Verizon across the street. I don't remember the size of the cooling tower that O'Hara just removed. Yeah, the other question I had down there is whether these provisions, whether any of these other should be made provision based on size.
Yes. Are there, I mean, have there been any, or are there any sort of tiny cooling towers locally? I mean, like, how big are the cooling towers at the moment?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, presumably if someone has a really tiny cooling tower, then they don't necessarily... and it doesn't emit anything but water, then it might be a burden to require them that they be...
Well, that's what I was saying, that some of these, like this, the real-time monitoring stuff,
yeah,
may be impractical.
Yeah,
that's a good point. At some shot. Yeah. So, the way I read this now, you could conceivably say that, you know, a cooling tower for a four-room. I don't think anyone would use a cooling tower anymore for a four-room store.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, it would be with all the heat pumps.
But you still use cooling towers when you need to get below zero, below freezing.
Yeah. So does Hannaford
mine. They probably have closed coil. They probably have condenser coil. But they might.
Also, maybe ask Dan what realistically might be used by, you know, a business like Hannaford or something like that.
I know when they lost their power, CMP had to come up and everything was underground where it blew out.
Yeah, what a mess.
What's that?
Oh,
you're aware Hannaford lost their power and they had to throw out half their refrigerated stuff. And CMP had discovered that all the electrical stuff that had failed was underground.
Oh, that was the day of the Super Bowl, too.
Yes.
one of the worst,
the worst time for that business.
The day before Thanksgiving and the day before.
I forgot about the time.
By the way, do you have to... in any way, can you look at the total local airshed when you're thinking about cooling towers and emissions and so on? I mean, I guess it'd be this side of Dodge Mountain out to, I don't know what, the Camden Hills or something. Or is there such a thing as one that, you know, the emissions more prevailing from Thomaston significant than they would be from Camden, you know, and so on? There must be some kind of way of making sure we're not just pitching them downstream into the next guy.
That is a good question. Currently, we're just using the language, I think, the Rockland and the surrounding communities, but I think that's sort of a matter of convenience.
Yeah, politically, that's all you can do, I guess, but
the bubble. With cooling towers, I think there's an attempt in the ordinance to limit anything to on-site.
That's true.
For air emissions from burned fuel, that would be a deep air modeling question.
Everything cooling comes into Rockland comes basically over my house.
It comes either from the southwest or the north.
Where's your house?
Over by Chickawaukee Pond. Because it just comes down from Ragged Mountain and just blows right down that valley. That's why I get more snow there than anyone else in town. It's because it's that hill to get up to the water reservoir, and it just dumps. So... and that the only windmill that's running right now is in that location.
That's so it's pretty clean.
Hens? Hens that he uses for his eels. And I don't even know if he's still using it, because I think he's getting along in age.
Yeah. And this is the point that I think we talked about, that we modify this to make it be the following stink, effective as of, are there subsequent updates from the accident? Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand as much whether fuel, gas, supply trains, but, you know, seems like odd language. Means in the locomotive sense.
Maybe he means
well, propane has been known to be delivered from Canada by their car.
Right, but I don't think this is clearly something that's going on site at the power generation facility. So I don't think that the fuel gas supply trains.
No, I don't know what he means by that.
It's a confusing language. I think he's intended to play all, you know, all the fuel gas supply piping.
Yeah, that's something that would
be. But if it was going to be, you know, when they were talking about putting a facility over by the turntable, then it could come in by train.
Sure. But I'm just saying, in this particular case, we're talking about inspecting what looks like on-site piping. I don't think trains and locomotives is even in this part of the building.
So you're making notations for Kevin to look at?
Yeah, or we'll just talk about it more tonight. I'll send this out to everybody this evening. Right. And then we just questioned by enforcement. They were talking about revoking occupancy permits in some cases. It was clear in one case, but it wasn't clear in others.
Yeah, I have no objection to revoking occupancy permits in that case.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to hear about this 3-day notification.
In the sense that it's too short or too long?
Too short, depending on the kind. I mean, see if it's a minor 30-second. Thing, then, you know, yeah. 3 days is fine. If it's a continuous leak, it should be immediate.
So, yeah.
Oh, so wait, so too long enough.
Within one day.
Yeah. I think 1 day is fine. I don't see any reason they. Yeah.
And that takes care of the natural gas leak they had out in California.
That's right. At least we would know about it within 1 day. But I guess we knew about it otherwise too. Does the odor committee ever actually meet?
No.
Okay.
Is that a fully committee-membered committee at this point?
I don't even know. I have to look it up. I don't know. It is, the only time it's ever met is in response to complaints.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. I mean, I think. The other question there is whether this has materials to pick up things like ammonia, things that you use for scrubbing stacks.
What page is it?
21. Are you usually at 6 or before 6?
I actually need to leave around 6 as well for this.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. It doesn't. It actually only mentions fuel and hazardous material. It doesn't actually mention other hazardous materials. Yeah, that's a good point. So I just say above ground fuel or other hazardous materials.
The last one was just the enforcement mechanism question here. Page 22.
I mean, in general, I would err on the side of strict enforcement for all of us, right? And the strictest thing, I guess, would be revoking the occupancy permit.
Yeah. I almost think there should be a, rather than doing this one by one, I also think there should be some just, because that's been a chronic problem, is you approve something under the sidewalk, then what happens if you don't do it?
Yeah.
You know, as a condition for getting permitted.
I understand.
But then what's the enforcement mechanism?
Yeah.
If you never plan it properly.
Yeah.
Or if you put in different types of... Or say you put in, say you put in dark sky compliant lighting construction,
and then somebody
snowplow goes and knocks the whole road down, and you come back and put in non-dark sky compliant.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't require a permit. You have to replace that fixture. Doesn't require
right.
a permit. So what's the mechanism to ensure ongoing compliance?
It's like rising tide. When they get approved, they were supposed to have a vegetative buffer. And the Parks Commission suddenly got questions because the vegetative cover was blocking the ability for people to turn off the side street next to it to get onto Route 1. So we went in and said, well, these trees have to come down, and then they were, and then all this controversy started happening and about trying to get the trees down so that people could public safety could pull out, but they're saying they had to have the buffer, and you're talking about a buffer that was, you know, within 5 feet of the road, so something wasn't realistic there.
So one, were any of these, I just brought up Nathan's questions when he recorded from the meeting. Any of this that we think we need to, we've covered some of these already.
Are we still recommending that the planning board get the Conservation Law Foundation or somebody, or council get the Conservation Law Foundation or somebody before actually approving the ordinance?
I think that's what we decided.
Yeah,
we wanted to get a third will, it's Conservation Law Foundation or District Bar, just
yes,
one
right.
other some other party. Either, I think the two we had recommended was
yeah.
the CLF or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. At least do a read through. Does it make sense altogether? Are we missing issues? And we can make that clear again tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think we should.
The comprehensive plan question, we can answer it.
Yeah.
I think Kevin actually answered
yeah.
it.
No, Valley. Valley would have answered it.
Okay.
She said that, I think, after first reading.
Well, it does. But I think Kevin also answered and said that the comprehensive plan is essentially silent.
Okay.